You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is Grind Season. I'm Jason Smith, one of your two co-hosts here on Grind Season, on the podcast, on Odyssey, and co-host of the Jason and John show here in Memphis, that radio show from 11 to 2, Monday through Friday on 929 FM ESPN and Odyssey Station. This is my man, Anthony Sane, the tribal chief of Grizz Twitter, a gifted mind and colleague who's covered the Grizzlies, I point out, in written and podcast form for the last 9 years. You can follow him on Twitter at Sane Asylum. Brother Sane, what up, man?
What it do, man? I'm good, brother. Tough loss last night. Still recovering from that. But yeah, it's all good.
We'll get to it because a lot to break down, to your point, from last night's loss. A lot of news out of the game. You got some coming in. You got some going out. First things first, you can listen to us on Grind Season twice per week on the free Odyssey app. And wherever else you get your podcast, just search for Grind Season. Keep a couple of good dudes on these podcast airways by pushing that subscribe button, right? Let me break down what we're going to talk about on this show. On this episode of Grind Season, lots happened, like we said, since we last spoke, even though it was just 2 days ago, because in that time, Jaren Jackson has come back, Jaren Jackson Jr. Desmond Bane, who had been absolutely rolling offensively, has been ruled out now for at least the next 2 to 3 weeks by the team with a grade 2 toe sprain. What's that? What's that saying? Is that turf toe? That
right big toe? Commonly known as tough turf toe.
And Bane does play that way. And then without Bane, obviously, as Sane mentioned, the Grizzlies dropped a 113-102 decision Tuesday night at the Pelicans. So Memphis is 9-6 for a little reset here. Dropped two in a row. Mm-hmm. With a home game coming up against Oklahoma City this Friday. And that's where we'll start in terms of running down this show. It's now back-to-back losses without Desmond Bane.
Yeah.
And it's now 0-3 this season for the Grizzlies without Desmond Bane. So Memphis has done well with injuries going back to last season when Ja Morant was in. And I just mean in terms of not just staying afloat when guys have gone down, but actually, you know, remaining a good to outstanding team when guys have gone down. With Bane gone at least the next 2 to 3, you know, we'll ask Sane, what do you think here in terms of replacing him? Seems to me like Sane, it might be tougher for the Grizzlies in terms of how they're built to replace Bane's production than it has been, you know, to replace Jaren early this season, Ja last season, Dylan Brooks for portions of last season. So we'll get into that. How tough will it be to replace Bane? Jaren's return, what we saw last night from him, you know, we mentioned little bit of rust offensively. I think you expected that. Mm-hmm. Little bit of elite. Come back, get 5 blocks. Well, last thing, what he thought about Jaren's debut in terms of this season. Missed the first 14 games. We were all excited, obviously, to see him. And then finally, saying I'm excited to get to this. I almost wanted to make it
the first. Almost want to start off with this,
But I'm going to save it because I want you to save it. And I think we're both in the same place. Charles Barkley last night on TNT said something that, you know, we're used to Charles at times saying some dumb to silly things. Mm-hmm. That said, we all hold him in high regard. And last night on the TNT broadcast, obviously the Pelicans, Memphis broadcast was on TNT. Charles Barkley said something very specific about the next step in Ja Morant's development that I thought, you know, I'll be honest with you saying I had missed until the middle of the day today. It had kind of gone under my radar. Had a lot of people though last night, including Ja Morant, up and talking about it. So we're gonna get to that later in terms of what Charles Barkley said about Ja Morant. Upset a lot of people around here. But again, back to one Desmond Bane, a guy who's what averaging 25 sane this season. Feels like he's taken another leap in the development. I don't know how many of us thought the step would be this high for Bane. What now in year three for him, but he's been more than just a guy who's scoring 20 something points a game. He's been a playmaker this season. You get the news that he's going to miss at least the next 2 to 3 weeks before re-eval. You know, how tough is it going to be for the Grizzlies, who last night, saying against the Pelicans, replaced him with John Conchar? You get 9 points in 37 minutes. As much as I loved him, it's not coming close to what you have in there with Bane. How tough is this going to be, saying, to fill the void here for the Grizzlies, who've been good at this historically? Is it going to be tougher with Bane?
I think it's going to be very tough. I like what you said about even questioning if it's harder missing Bane or missing Jaren. I think when you're talking about one of the elite, like, top-tier shooters in the entire NBA in Desmond Bane, I think that when you lose that type of guy, and if you got outside shooting, it just makes everybody's job easier because you can only play Ja Morant a certain way if you got guys that are you know, getting those shots up. John Conchar last night, 9 points, 8 rebounds. Great. He only took three-pointers the entire game. You were able to play Ja a little differently. You could be able to play everybody a little different because the paint, you can sit in the paint a little more. You know what I mean? I think that losing Bane is a big deal. I'm worried about it. with Jaren's thing and also with Zaire's thing, they were pretty solid about the end date. You know what I mean? With Jaren, it was, 4 to 6 months. You know, you'll see Jaren in about 4 to 6 months. With Zaire, it was, you'll see him in 4 to 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. This is reevaluation in 2 to 3 weeks. It doesn't have he'll be back in a minute. You know, this is turf, though. He'll be back soon. I don't know, man. And he's one of those guys. he's a bigger guy, stronger guy. Got a lot of weight he's throwing around. And, he kind of plays not like a herky-jerky style, but a lot of forward movement with him. So, like you said, his style of play may have contributed to the turf toe injury. I hate it. We're not the same team without Desmond Bane. I'm seeing that now. I really want to say that at one time last year, people were saying, Desmond Bane's a future all-star. And I would kind of, scoff at it because I was like, okay, Bane's great. He's a great shooter or whatever, but he's not consistent. He has games where he doesn't really show up at all. Desmond Bane has been extremely consistent this season. You know what I mean? He hasn't played all 15. In the 12 games he's played in, he's been very consistent in those games. And losing a guy like that, I think, is very, very, very crucial. Because it makes Ja have to work that much harder. In our wings, guys like Anthony Melton, guys like Kyle Anderson, they're not there anymore. And a lot of guys we're playing, they're fine, but in certain big, tight moments, it kind of makes you wonder, will those guys be ready? And last night's game, if my mood doesn't sound the same, if my energy is not the same, New Orleans Pelicans do this shit to me, man. they've had our number for years, going back to Ja's rookie year. Anytime it seems like they got anything with the pulse, it seems like they got our number, man. And it's kind of deflating. You're seeing Trey Murphy out there knocking down threes, a guy that was on the – not that I'm saying he's better than Zaire or anything like revisionist history, but just the fact that, we could have drafted that guy and our guy's in street clothes. Like, that just kind of gets depressing. With the whole Zaire Williams thing. And I'm not knocking Zaire because I think he's going to be a great player. But he's out there killing you. And you can just tell that they kind of built that roster to kind of slow us down, because I guess they kind of – they even talked about on the broadcast yesterday how our organizations kind of mimic each other. I don't think they mimic each other. That's what they were saying. Like, nah, we were good before New Orleans was good. New Orleans is trying to get like us. You know what I mean? But, yeah, man, it's going to be tough without Bane. For the next few weeks. I hope it's a true 2 to 3 weeks and he's back on the court playing in 2 to 3 weeks, puts you around Christmas time. Hope he's back, for the Christmas Day game. I can't see him missing a lot of time. It does worry me that it is open-ended. Like, we'll check on this again in a few weeks type thing. But he's been absolutely phenomenal for this team, man. And we all know this is John's team, but the fact that he has clearly cut himself out to be that number two scoring option, I still think it's debatable whether or not Jaren's the second best player on the team for other reasons, defensively mostly. But Desmond Bane has been absolutely incredible, and we're gonna feel this loss, man. We're gonna feel him not being there. I know we've been known for guys stepping up, but we're asking guys that are kind of like third tier guys to kind of step up now. Last year, when you asking guys to step up, you asking Desmond Bane to step up, you asking Anthony Melton to step up, you asking Kyle Anderson to step up. Those guys aren't here anymore. And now you're asking the John Conchars, the Santi Aldamas, you know, David Roddy, Jake LaRavia. You're asking those guys who don't have that experience to step up. So it's a different thing. But like I said, man, this Grizzlies team constantly surprises people. I'm tired of counting them out, because every time you try to count them out, they'll show you something. So we'll see, man. But I think it's going to be tough.
I do too. Of all the guys they've lost, and you know, we talked about Ja last year, how good they were without him, 20-5. A lot of that was Tyus. And how good he was there. Jaren this year, Santi Aldama steps up in that hole. I'm glad you mentioned Zaire, because they haven't had him all season either. Nah. So you've had, you know, exactly. But the plan had been always for him to be high in that rotation. And so you've had to fill that gap. You've had to fill that gap as well. This one does feel like it'll be the toughest, because you sit there and as good as Conchar has been in spots, and we talked about him. I said he brought the season in a couple of weeks ago. He's not equipped to give you, you know, because Bane has taken such a jump. Let me tell you what's amazed me most about him. We all know he's a sharpshooter. I think Shane this year, it's up to 45% from three. It's crazy, because the numbers in terms of his 3-point percentage keep going up. Yes, he's at 45% on 8.5 attempts, but it's how successful. I'll put it this way: how effective he's been going to the basket. I'll be honest with you, with his short wingspan, that he could be as effective going to the basket as a go to the basket guy as he's been. And he's been amazing, whether it's been a little, you know, that little floater off the glass, or even getting off the finger roll with them little short arms. Saying the dude has been amazing because it's unlocked. When he's a threat to get downhill like he is now, it's giving him more room to operate and get off some of those threes that he's shooting at an even higher percentage. The other part about it, saying he's doubled his assists. Like you and I both talked about this now for, you know, the entire 5-6 episodes of the show. But he's now at, what is it? It's where's the assist? 4.8. Right. You know, last year 2.7. Mm-hmm. This year he's essentially doubled that as a playmaker. So when you take, you know, the efficiency from a scoring standpoint, but both getting downhill, shooting the three, but then the playmaking that he was doing next to Ja,
right?
I think that's part of the reason. It's the huge reason why they're 0-3 without him this season. Dude, he's become a key cog. And I think I realize that Dylan Brooks, better defensive player, maybe brings a different sort of energy that you still need. Jaren Jackson Jr., first team all D. But Bane's become so essential offensively. Like you were touching on it there, I'm not sure he's not the second most important player on this team. You know, and we just talking a couple of years ago, it was Ja and Dylan versus Utah. Like that was 1-2.
Yeah.
And here we are a couple of years later, and hell, Jaren's been first team all defense, and I still feel like Bane does it at such a high level. And now from both playmaking and scoring standpoint, that man, it does feel like it's going to be hard to replace. And I'd have a tough time making an argument he's not the second most important player on the team.
Yeah. And Bane makes you feel super confident in the bumps you're taking with guys like LaRavia, Roddy, Jiddy Steele, you know, those type of guys, you know, Santi. You know, it makes you think that there's a good chance that one of those guys is going to turn into the same thing again, like Desmond Bane is, man. He's been absolutely phenomenal. Like I said, I think we're going to feel his loss because he's been such a dynamic scorer, man. I mean, like, he can score. He's showing you can score, like, almost any way you want him to. And he's putting up crazy numbers. I was talking to Cam Rose, a good friend of mine, did the Outsiders podcast with him. I said, man, if it wasn't for Ja Morant, we'd be looking at Desmond Bane's numbers as historically the best, like, scoring average in Memphis Grizzlies history. I mean, look at the numbers. I mean, nobody's scored, like, 25 points a game in the season for us. I think Mike might have maybe got something close to that. I'll check it after the podcast. You guys can check me. But I don't think anybody, the numbers Desmond Bane's put up as the second best scorer on our team, I don't think anybody in the history of this franchise has ever scored that many points per game. I could totally be wrong, but I don't think I am. Mm-hmm. He's been great, man. He's been absolutely great, and I think we're going to miss him. Like you said, hopefully we can get Zaire back during this 2 to 3 weeks that Desmond Bane is out. I would like to see a lineup even that has maybe Zaire at the two, or Dylan at the two, whatever you're doing. Play Zaire and Dylan together and kind of see if Zaire's a guy that can, be in your starting lineup, man, because, a lot of people are complaining about Dylan. I'm just kind of over it because I don't really think there's really a Dylan Brooks trade out there that really makes us better. That's another podcast to discuss. Maybe the next one. But, yeah, it's going to be tough without Bane for sure, man.
Well, I would think on a great deal of nights, you're going to get a better shooting game than the 6 of 18, 2 of 9 that Dylan Brooks gives you last night to help fill in that Bane hole. Like, he can have better night. We know it's going to be a roller coaster with him. And then let's be real, too. Once Jaren Jackson shakes off some of that rust, we're just talking about in ways of filling that Bane hole in terms of that productivity. You're not going to see O of 7. You might see an O of 7, but some of those other nights, maybe there's a 3 of 6, a 3 of 7 in there, just in terms of, again, filling that production. My point is that the Grizzlies can't expect the John Conchars of the world to do even a quarter of it, Sane. Even a quarter of it. It's going to be up to other guys that are in there now. Hopefully Jaren Jackson can shake off some of that rust. And like I said, it's going to have to be a team effort like it's been every time they've had a man down. Here's the thing about it, Sane. The most frustrating part of it feels like, even though these guys are, what are we talking about, 23 years old for Jaren and Ja, 24 for Bane, we've seen them together for such a short amount of time. It was only 11 games last season that you had all of them on the floor.
Just the starting line of Ja, Bane.
You had all of them, 11 games last season. You had everybody. You feel like you're so close because at least you've got Jaren coming back, and then you get the news about Bane leaving.
It's like they traded out.
So to your point about New Orleans and that frustration level and watching them yesterday and Alvarado's like creating this little – funky little energy that's actually a good, on their home floor is a great, the fans are getting behind it, all of that. What's been frustrating is you haven't been able to have everybody yet.
Yeah.
Right. To know everything of what you got. Will Dylan fall in line when everybody's out there and Jaren's in the back playing defense? Like we still haven't seen that yet. As young as this team is, that's the part of it we still got to see. And that the most recent, now you got to wait at least two to three more weeks to get back. Right? It's sort of been the story of this team for the last couple of seasons. Not having
Christmas. Anybody. Christmas, man. Sweet Jesus. Sweet baby Jesus in a manger in Bethlehem.
Man, let's pray to Jesus and have them all for Christmas.
We can just get all our guys on Christmas Day.
Oh, it would be, I mean, just that little bit of luck would be something, but that's sort of been the Grizzlies story now for the last season, at least the first part of this one. But that sort of gets us right into our next topic. But before we get into that, you're listening, of course, to Grind Season with your boys, Anthony Sane, yours truly, Jason Smith. Be sure to download us on the free Odyssey app.
Free.
It's free to download. Super, super easy. Even a fool like me can understand it. Hit the subscribe button. You can help us out. Listen to us twice per week. We're giving it to you consistently, baby. We got the backing. We got the dope producers. We got everything's worked out. Even my little lazy Wi-Fi in Cordova. Okay, it's coming through nice and clear now. Again.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
that gets us to topic number two, and it was nice to see Jaren Jackson Jr., as much rust as there were, and there was a nice little layer of it, especially offensively, all over him. Was great to see him back in the lineup. He obviously missed, 14 games this season with recovering from the foot surgery this offseason. We'll presumably see him again on Friday for Block Panther night, Friday night when they take on OKC. So hopefully Jaren, who played, about 25 minutes?
It was not 25 minutes because of fouls. He got there because of minutes restriction. So
that's right. One foul. Jaren. Okay. Three of 14. Did go 0 of 7 from 3. 7 points, 6 rebounds. But he gave you 5 blocks.
Crazy.
Remember, this is a guy who led the league in blocks per game. That's why they call him the Block Panther. Led the league. He gives you 5 in his first one back. Imagine what his feel is going to be like once he's in there. A couple of weeks, 2 turnovers, 1 foul. What'd you think about the return? Saying, was it about what you expected from Tripp?
I know that we only do who brought the seasoning once a week. We've already done that this week. We awarded those awards. But my friend, Jaren Jackson Jr., he gets the award because that brother was not only rusted, that brother was seasoned with rust on the court. I don't know if you ever been to a wing restaurant. They put way too much seasoning on there. It looked rusty.
Yes,
your seasoned wings look rusty. That's what that brother looked like. He was bathed in rust seasoning.
He wanted to get that off before Block Panther night. You were right about that. Wanted to get that off, right?
Yeah, because I hope he got all his misses out the way, because he got 7 of them bad boys of the night. And I kind of felt the way about that, because I was like, Jaren, like, bro, this is a real game. Like, this is like the Pelicans, bro. Right. Like, I'm not telling you I expect your shot to be on. But man, you took 7 of them things though. Like, bro, you couldn't stop at 3, 3.5. You know what I mean? Bro, you took a whole 7. Well, over 7. You're killing your percentages for the year, because you got to go crazy just to get back around 30-some%. He had a couple drives to the basket that were good. Good to see that he went out there fouling. You would have thought that a guy who was out of shape, especially in a game like that, would have been reaching and grabbing guys. Didn't see a lot of that. Maybe that's came from just kind of sitting back and watching the game from the sideline, as opposed to being on the court. Maybe he's seen the game a little differently. Maybe had time to reflect about that. I think defensively, because my thing was this. If like we said this on the last podcast, I don't really care anything about Jaren really shooting the threes, whatever. If he could just be, when you've got a guy like Desmond Bane with John Morant, but that's your backcourt, they can give you 60-plus points in a given night. Jaren, just play crazy defense, stay on the court. All of our numbers suggest that when Jaren is on the court, period, that we're good. We're good. When Jaren's on the court, we're a good team. If he could just stay out there, play defense, knock down an occasional three-pointer when called upon, we're good. And I hope that that's kind of taking some of that pressure off of him. I don't really – you know, we took a loss, so I can't really say exactly how he impacted the game. I'm sure that someone out there can find numbers that support that. I'm not a numbers guy. I pride myself in not being a numbers guy. But, I mean – He was fine, and I think he'll only get better in time. I think that he's still learning his body, and you'll see that out there as well. Like you said, Jaren's 23 years old, but it seems like we're watching his body have a metamorphosis in front of our eyes from the kid he was, you know, as a rookie. It's good to have him back, though, man. Like you said, Block Panther night is Friday at the FedEx Forum. I'm sure he's going to get a lot of love. But yeah, man, it just really sucks that we don't have Bane. But bringing Jaren in defensively, hopefully guys can kind of settle around. Because not only is it an adjustment offensively, it's an adjustment having a player that good out on the court with you defensively. Now everybody has to see, okay, we got Jaren out here. All right, okay. Now we can kind of settle in and do our thing, let our ears back a little bit. So there's an adjustment even when you get better, you know, technically, you have to make those adjustments too, so you know it's going to be a good thing.
Let me ask you this, because we kind of touched on it. Would you say he's the second most important player on the team, ahead of Desmond Bane, because of what he does and how elite he is defensively, and then sort of plus the combination of what we all kind of hope he can be offensively, what he's flashed at times offensively.
Man,
when you're talking about a guy who you're saying,
all right, I'm gonna put it to you this way. Like, it's hard to say that a guy who is clearly who the league has identified as one of the top five best defensive players in the NBA. It's hard to say that that guy is not the second most pivotal player on your team.
Yeah.
But are we saying that Marcus Smart is the second best player on Boston? No, we're going to say it's Jaylen Brown all day long. So I right now, man, I've got to say it's Bane, man, just because of how important the three-point shot is in today's NBA. And maybe a little bit of that is just being hell-beaten by watching old Grizzlies teams that didn't have any shooting at all. Now we got one of the best shooters in the league. Maybe that might be what excites me so much about Desmond Bane. But like I said, Jaren's phenomenal. And it might just be a case of, you know, out of sight, out of mind. We might start seeing over the next few weeks how important Jaren is to this team. You know what I mean? So I don't know, man. Don't make me answer that.
No, I think it's hard because he's a guy capable of being obviously defensive player of the year. You make a great point about Smart. Right. But Jaren's higher up the pecking order. It is for Smart. Yeah, man. Yeah, yeah.
I'm about to give you an answer. Man.
Get off the couch and answer the question.
Exactly. Let me give you an answer. Yeah. Who is the second most important player to this team?
Hold Sane down. You're right. Yeah. Producer Sane. Make him answer it. He's right.
It's
make him.
It's Bane, bro. Like it's
because it's hard to say because of the jump he's made. The jump he's made this year. It is.
It's made that backcourt of him and Ja. Like, I sat there and watched us battle against Kyrie Irving and fucking Kevin Durant, and they won. They outdueled them.
Yeah. You ain't lying. And them boys had, 37 apiece? Kyrie and KD had, 37 apiece. John Bane had, 38, something like that?
But with that being said, if Jaren is playing prime basketball, you talking about a trump card, man. Like, if Jaren's rolling and those two guys are rolling too, you damn near unbeatable, bro. Like, if you got that's your top three?
I mean, that's what it's been crazy about the Grizzlies is how much the deck's been reshuffled. Mm-hmm. Like, at one point before Ja gets here, is sort of Jaren's team, right? The previous administration.
You want to build around this unicorn.
Then you get Ja, and it immediately becomes clear it's his team. Jaren becomes two, but then for a time against Utah and playoff, Dylan kind of moves into slot number two. But then, bang.
Defensively.
But the number 30 pick in the draft, comes into the mix, and then he moves up the deck, and you have to reshuffle it, and the pecking order is different, man. But it's a good problem to have. It's a good problem to have. In terms of one more thing about Jaren's return, who does it help the most? Which player does his return help the most?
Dylan Brooks. Two reasons. I think that there's one more person that Dylan can kind of, you know, defer to, that you can kind of let Jaren cover, you know, some of your offensive load. Plus, I think when you're a guy who's guarding that point of attack guy, when you know you've got the Black Panther behind you, you can kind of, just like in a fight, man. When you got them goons behind you, you can talk plenty of shit because you know what's about to go down. You know what I mean?
Right. Like when Chris got Big Gabe back there, he can talk a little bit more. Got his 8-year-old partner that, outweigh him, outweigh everybody.
Gabe and CJ got Josh back there. They can talk so a little bit more shit. You know what I mean? You got that whole thing. But I think Dylan's gonna be affected by it the most, especially on the defensive end. I think he can gamble a little more. You know he can. When you know Jaren's back there, you know you can play a little bit wilder, man. So I think it's gonna be Dylan for sure.
Yeah, you can. I'm looking forward to seeing what Jaren looks like against OKC. I don't think it'll take him long because it looks like he's been healthy for a while, man. So hopefully offensively, it's just a matter of him. Man, I'd rather see him get the rust off of that game inside the arc rather than trying to
the threes kind of bother me, man. And I know we got to talk about the Charles Barkley thing. I got an unpopular opinion when it comes down to that too. And it is going to tie into Jaren. So
this episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Well, that's where we're at on to our final topic of grind season. tonight, which we hope you'll subscribe and listen to twice a week. On the free Odyssey app. You don't get much free in 2022 anymore. You can listen to us free on the Odyssey app. Last night, Sane touched on it there. I touched on it in the open. On the TNT broadcast, this was brought to my attention today and certainly caught the eye of Ja Morant. Charles Barkley had mentioned things, to say the least, on the next step of Ja's development here in year four. Saying I went and transcribed it, so I can read it to you.
Read it, brother. Exactly. Read it with that church voice.
I can read it to you exactly how he said. Now, I can't sound like Charles, but I can give it to you exactly how I said. So you've got all the context. We've got all the context of what he said. Because I'll be honest with you. You know, I know Charles around the joke and everything else, but I think I expected more from him, at least on this comment on Ja. Here's the quote. But the next evolution for Ja is he got to learn to make the players around him better. You know, when you're a great player, you can get your shot anytime you want to. But to take that next step, and then Kenny Smith interrupted him. He said, you don't think that he makes them better? Charles said, I'm saying the players around him. Kenny said, yeah, that's what I'm saying. And here's where Charles doubled down. He said, no, I don't think he's added that to his game yet. Sometimes when you make a play, you got to be thinking to yourself, I can go around this guy, but I need to get this guy going, or I need to get this guy going. And it cut off for the most part at that point there. But Charles was sort of doubled down again with Kenny interrupting him that it's the next. And I'll be honest with you, Sane, because I hope you're going to unload, because this is where I'm at. This is where I'm at, is that it sounded like the sort of cookie cutter answer and sort of
for a team, really don't pay attention.
That older guys have said about young guys for a long time, and one who's saying not paying attention. And I would ask you, how is Charles not paying attention to a Grizzlies team that just had the second best record in the league? He saw him in the playoffs last year.
Right. He clearly doesn't pay attention. None of these guys do. They see highlights and they see Ja doing these amazing things. And they just say, okay, well, what comes with the super athletic guard criticism starter kit? Oh, he's not getting other guys involved. He's just getting his point.
Starter kit.
He looks at Ja scoring, you know, 30 points a game. Oh, he can't be getting other guys involved. No, those type of things. And I think it's just a ridiculous comment, man. And I talked with this. This is something that me and Peter would talk about a lot on our show. Back in my old radio days, we used to talk about how these NBA commentators, these old guys, these vets, stars that we all grew up on, the Charles Barkleys, you know, Kenny Smith, Shaq, these guys that we all, you know, watched coming up. The NBA does the absolute worst job of protecting the name and the brand of his product with the guys that they pay to talk about their product. You know what I mean? Like, you don't cut on NFL to hear people saying, man, it's, you know, it's Patrick Mahomes. It's like, you never hear that, bro. You hear these guys talk very well about the future of the league, the guys who will carry the torch to the next generation. It sounds lazy. It's like these guys don't watch the game. Sometimes they're jealous of these young guys because of the freedoms they have, some of the skills they have. I'm tired of Shaq talking about bigs that don't go inside or, you know, and shoot too much. And like, Shaq, come on, man. Like,
are there two other than those two, Saint, other than Shaq and Charles?
Reggie Miller does it all the time. All of them. Like literally almost all of them, bro. Like,
who'd you say? Reggie Miller?
Yeah, Reggie Miller's bad about it. Who else is really bad about that crap, man?
Interesting.
Who are you thinking? Who are you thinking about?
No, I considered Charles, and it was the one, and Shaq too. The way he remember what he did to it, and I'm not a huge Donovan Mitchell fan.
Oh, but yeah, it was trash. Yeah.
Donovan Mitchell, I thought that was trash.
Try to get the man up, acknowledge him, apologize.
I thought that was trash. But I was thinking about other guys who sort of. I'm with you. Reggie can be negative, you know, can be that way. But Charles and Shaq are on a level on their own.
Yeah, I watch them for the entertainment though, for the funny stuff. I don't care about the analysis at all because it's lazy as shit, man. Like, it's like, and like, how can you look at Ja Morant, who instantly first season came to this team, a team that was supposed to be you were bad enough where you got the number two pick in the draft, right? And the very next season, you're in the play-in. And if it wasn't no COVID, no pandemic, would have been a playoff team. And like, how can you say that guy coming in is not making guys around him better, man? And like you said, regardless of who's out there, we still were competing, still were winning games at a big time level last year. But I will say this though, I'm gonna play devil's advocate because I'm gonna tell you what Charles Barkley's probably looking at. I haven't heard anybody on Twitter, radio, anything make the point I'm about to make. You know what I think Charles Barkley's doing? Like where he got his whole thing from? Ooh. I think that he's kind of looked at the offensive development or lack thereof from Jaren Jackson Jr. and he's associating that with Ja Morant. Because in his eyes, he's like, okay, Ja and this kid, like I know Desmond Bane, but he just kind of got around in Charles Barkley's eyes. He probably just, oh, that kid's pretty new. But Ja and Jaren, that's been the guys. That's been your two. That's been your consistent two guys that's been here forever. Like, why they don't run pick and roll with this big man? Like, why Ja ain't getting this big man involved?
I can understand that if you're tying it to Jaren.
That's what he's looking at. I bet he's like, okay, that Jaren kid's got some tools. Like, why don't him and those two? Because that frustrates me. Like, I'm totally concerned with, I could have talked about this in the second segment. I want to say this just for this. And I'm not trying to come to Charles Barkley's rescue because I think he's terrible when it comes down to analyzing the game. But I think what he's saying is, and this is my frustration and my concern, we have to find a way to make the game easier for Jaren Jackson Jr., for him to be able to score more efficiently.
Absolutely.
Like, seeing Jaren coming back and he's shooting 7 3-pointers, I'm like, no, I don't. Even when Jaren was shooting 39%, he wouldn't, I mean, seven? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's a lot of threes, bro. Desmond Bane shoot 8.5, and that number sounds astronomical. And it's like, maybe that's what he saw. Like, it's because Jaren looks like a player that's just with no direction offensively. Like, he's just kind of misused. Maybe he's looking at that. I'll give him benefit of the doubt on that. But in total, Charles Barkley's comments sounded absolutely goofy. It just sounds lazy. It sounds like bro, how can the team be as good as the Grizzlies were last year? And that's what you gather from the team. It's wild.
Yeah, I think he's Ja Morant's been a part of Bane's steps. He's been, a part of making everybody on that team better. You had the second best record. I think you make a great point about Charles maybe holding Jaren's offensive game against Ja. I also think whether it's Charles or others, the fact that Memphis was 20-5 last year without Ja is held against him.
And that's crazy.
It's unbelievable because it seemed when some like Charles have made that point about how good the Grizzlies were without him, it's almost like it's intended to lessen Ja's value. That's a credit to number one, Tyus Jones and the Grizzlies playing without Ja and sort of the depth they had around him. But I'm telling you right now, these analysts and these Ja detractors use it against him.
It's crazy
in arguments like this that he hasn't learned yet. I mean, the fact that this team, again, is where it is with two 23-year-olds and a 24-year-old as the core shows you how ahead of that man, ahead of his years, Ja Morant is. We've always said that what sort of differentiates him and Derrick Rose is how cerebral Ja has been at a young age.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we were hoping that for Derrick and saying, okay, you're going to have to change the completely, game that's completely based around your athleticism. You got to get more cerebral early. It took him a while. Heck, ends up getting injured first. Ja has already had the sort of, I'm a point guard who can change. But it, you know what, I'll bottom line it this way. It felt like saying, you said the thing that hit me with the whole, it's starter kit, criticism starter kit. It felt like Barkley was talking about a guy like De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah.
De'Aaron Fox been in the league longer, hasn't moved. That he can make teammates better.
Yeah.
Hell, this is the first time we're paying any attention to Sacramento. And that's Darren can put up numbers, but does he make players better? Back to yours, it's that kind of player Charles should be saying about, but it felt like he took a De'Aaron Fox like and applied it to Ja.
On fucking lazy, man.
It's like cookie cutter, lazy ass veteran analyst. I'm gonna tell you, this young man needs to learn how to get the team involved. Man, that man been doing that stuff since he got the league. That man had Murray State in the damn NCAA tournament.
Right.
Two-star dudes play like four-star dudes.
Right. Right, man. And he's got it's insane. And I will say this, man.
Go ahead.
It does feel good to be on national television with Charles Barkley talking about you as opposed to playing games on PAX.
Well, amen.
That's what I call Bally's PAX 2.0. It's Bally's rubbish. Do they sponsor this? I mean, if they do, I apologize, y'all. But
I don't have any on my DirecTV stream app. I get Bally's just fine. I don't know why you give me a hard time, bro. That's on your bootleg. You can't pick
my bootleg stream.
That's your fault, say. Ain't Bally's.
I cut the game on them folks speaking Spanish, and they're just they speaking Spanish. Oh, the whole show about Santi. Like, damn.
Man, I tell you what. Santi's been a nice little rep. I hope they're super excited about him, man. Because he's on your stream. He said that reverse dunk he had the other night on the alley. Santi got a little funk to him, but anyway, yes. Charles Barkley talking crazy last night. TNT broadcast. I figured Sane would have it.
Pissed me off, man.
It was a lazy take, and he needed to be held accountable. You need to be checked on. It was absolutely lazy take. Well, that's the episode tonight. Again, make sure you're downloading us twice per week. Again, to get this Sane wisdom, to get these Sane takes. Twice per week on the free Odyssey app. You can download the Odyssey app, find us easily, search for Grind Season. That's our episode for tonight. Grizzlies got OKC coming up on Friday. We'll be back with two more next week. Happy early Thanksgiving to everybody. Until then, for Brother Sane, I'm Jason Smith. Stay on your grind.